lost my whole face this last 2 weeks. It's your lifestyle specialist, Kenny Burns.
Hey, the kid Ferrari Simmons.
Your favorite Ethiopian Sue Solo.
Yeah, I was going to say, do it with that smile, direct, baby.
I was like, don't mind the list.
It's not really, I didn't really hear this.
I didn't hear it.
I can feel it. Maybe it doesn't sound like it, but I can definitely feel it.
So and then tell us about the journey.
And when I say something with an S, there's like a weird like bubble.
A bubble of spit?
Like a spit bubble.
So how has this been? Is it
Well, hurt? This is week 2. This particular set of trays hurt like hell. I got a headache.
And this year, what number tray is this? 3 or?
This is my second.
Second
tray. Okay. So, you know, they say it'll be extra.
How many steps
the
is
first
it?
To 3 days.
Is it like 10? That's 10 trays you'll get?
Well, some of the trays are just for a week. Some could be for 2 weeks. So.
You sound good, because I had a lisp.
Well, last week was real bad. I think I probably just got a little used to it by now.
Okay. And you have to talk for a living, so you got to figure it
Fact.
Out.
Yeah,
because there's no way.
Yeah, because if you don't keep them in for the amount of time, that's just
22 hours a day.
Well, 20 to 22, but they want you to wear them for 22 hours, so they already been off before.
To be effective,
today,
22.
Are you feeling a difference?
I am feeling the pain and pressure in my mouth and my head and my temples hurt and I'm hungry and I'm.
And it sucks. It just moves one tooth at a time sometimes too.
It feels like they're all moving.
Okay.
It feels like they're all going to get this.
Well, you know, at the end of this is an amazing smile. You're going to be just, not that you didn't smile already, but you're just going to be blown with the smile.
I am super excited. It was a little rough at brunch with these on this past Sunday because I was scared I was going to accidentally drool in front of somebody and spit on them.
How you
I
doing?
Don't know, but it was so rough.
Happy duck.
Time. Shout out to the girls with the Cocktails podcast, Kiki and Medina. They came through the brunch.
I heard somebody in Baller Nation hit you, said they was coming from Seattle or
something. Was amazing. Yeah, I got an email from someone in Seattle. I'm excited for her to come and experience it. Diddy Emma came through and did her Afro burlesque. Jameson came in and spent some money. We did a couple of shot shows.
Hey,
it was high
shot
energy.
Shows.
Yeah, it was high energy. Had the stripper poles.
I saw somebody of my friend was
there. DeMar Jackson was there.
Saw my friend get a lap dance.
Hey.
Yes. Our friend did get a lap dance.
My manager was getting a lap dance. Wow.
Yep. He enjoyed it too.
That's what's up, Justin?
Yeah. Okay. Welcome to Sunday brunch.
What is your favorite meal there? Because I'm coming to get it this Sunday. I'm going to be in town. I'm saying it again. I'm not missing this Sunday. Well, Rari, would you go with me? Would you come meet me and go with me?
Fine. Well, since Done. You asked, the French toast is bomb, but the chicken and waffles, honest to God, y'all, is the best waffle I've ever had in my life.
Okay, so that's what we're getting
the best.
This Sunday.
Get
what time?
French toast.
What time is good to come like eat without all the turn up?
A good time to come and eat without the turn up, I would say like 2:33.
Okay,
you gonna be there at 2:33?
I'm there from open to close every Sunday.
Okay, you better be dedicated.
I'm there. I do it all. Reservations,
it don't
everything.
Awesome.
Trying to get my chickens. Okay.
Okay.
Coins.
Yeah.
Like Robin said, get them coin noggers.
Coin noggers.
Rari, how was your weekend, champ?
Mine was good. You know, out here in these streets doing my thing.
Yes, sir.
Nothing
getting
too
honored
special.
And stuff.
Yeah, got honored at the ATL 20 dinner.
That. You got an award. Your peers honored you, champ. Talk about that.
Yeah, my peers honored me one time for the ATL 20 dinner. Brandon, appreciate you, my guy, and the whole crew. I know he was him and his partner. Appreciate
Carmen.
Everybody. Carmen, thank
That's
you.
That's dope. And what was the award?
It
was
for Influencer
okay.
Award.
Okay.
Nice. In my particular field.
That's right.
So that was cool. Shout out to the other winners and people that got recognized too. That was super dope.
That's awesome. How the babies doing?
Man, the babies are good, man. Potty training is kicking my ass, but she'll poop in the potty one day and then
poop on the floor.
Then she'll poop in her panties the next day because we think she's ready. And yeah, outside
take
of
that. Take your time.
It's all right. Look, she ain't gonna want to be messy soon enough. Trust me, she gonna stop it.
Mm-hmm.
She gonna stop it. Ladies and gentlemen, I went to Indianapolis this weekend, y'all. I haven't been to Indy. I don't think
they have a really nice downtown.
Indianapolis is really, I mean, it's cool, and they had this thing called Party Gras, P-A-R-D-I Gras, like Mardi Gras, but Party Gras.
That's cute.
And it was like 2,000 plus people in this joint. I'm talking about when I say partying, I was just so impressed. And they had a whole give back component. Big shout out to Jeff and We Like to Party at Party P-A-R-D is I think their Instagram. But they were giving out money to, you know, local influencers and companies and doing their thing. It was a whole cultural thing. I really had a really, really good time.
Indianapolis.
Oh, and I spoke at Virginia Union, y'all.
Yeah. Saw that.
I sent y'all the clip. I had this OG.
All the just amazingness.
Yeah, the OG was like, you know, I speak all the time, and I know the connection is there with the people that are you know, come to see me. But this guy, it was like five cameras over here. They were like really taping this thing. I'm like, who are the cameras for? Like, is it the new? Anyway, so it was this older gentleman behind the camera, and he was literally like fidgety, like making me nervous, fidgety, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why is he keep pacing around? So we got the Q&A portion, and he like tried to jump, and they had this whole thing scheduled with people in the audience with the mic. They were he just came, he was like, yeah, I want to ask you a question. And they were like, wait, can you? We, you know, wait till the other people answer their question or ask their questions. So when it finally got back to, I was like, oh, let OG ask his question, please. Right. I got to know. I need to know. So he was like, you know, we had the Richmond 34 thing today, and I just don't understand basically why so many people in here listening to you and they weren't at the Richmond 34 thing. Now, mind you, Richmond 34 were activists that went to Virginia Union, and they sat in at the Woolworths downtown, and they had like this whole sit-in thing. One was peaceful, the other time they got arrested. But he was so like charged. I'm like, well, and the energy he was giving, I felt like, you know, cutting him up really quick.
His spicy energy.
Oh, he was, yeah, he was. But I felt
he
like
he made for that. He come on with it now. Yeah.
But you know what I did though? I felt compassion. Mm-hmm. I have felt like this is the time I can bridge the gap.
Right. Yeah.
And this is what I said.
Well, the one thing your generation has to do is honor this history. And I think living in that mindset keeps us stagnant. That is something we honor and we respect and we will never forget. But it's something we have to grow from. You know, I was having this conversation with the brothers this morning and sisters this morning. You know, I feel racism now more than I felt as a child. And I think it's because hip hop saved so many of us. And to not honor that like you honor the civil rights leaders is injustice to this generation. And if you can't speak to them in the way that they can receive, there's no growth for our culture. We're gonna honor our culture. This historically black college, they're here because of your generation's offering in the 34's offering. But we have to be conscious of what's going to connect. I spoke in the class today. The professor and I said the exact same thing. I just said it in a more relatable way. And it's no disrespect to structural teaching and, you know, textbook teaching, but the Kenny Burns way happened to connect in a different form. So I appreciate that, but we don't have to dwell on that anymore. We have to honor it, and we also have to speak to them in a way that they can grow.
How do we learn? How do we learn from that?
Well, y'all have to want to do it. Y'all tend to live in a time period instead of living in today's society mentally. I'm just gonna keep it a buck. So.
But anyway, I felt like OG needed a hug. I felt like he needed to understand why it's hard for them, how it was hard for them to connect with us, mm-hmm. because that generation put all their fears on us. Mm-hmm. That generation spoke all of the trials and tribulations they went through in on us. Like, they spoke it. Like, it was not like this happened to us and we're going to move forward and you're going to be a bigger, better, you know, offering of our generation. That's what we're doing. Like, my generation is, I'm touching every soul I could touch, right. Giving them the information, making sure they are equipped to go forward. That generation did it. So it was a good, I think it was a good moment, and it resonated because it went viral. And people were posting it. Yeah, but anyway, so big shout out to Virginia Union University. I will be back, and I'm on this college tour now, guys, called What Matters Most. And what matters most to me now in my 40 year of life is just, you know what I'm saying, like sharing all the information. I want you to have the information, Baller Nation. Anyway, now it's time for In Case You Missed It.
Just in case you missed it.
Ladies and gentlemen, rest in peace to the GOAT, Kobe and Gianna Bryant, all the pastors lost. Yesterday they had a ceremony at Staples Center, and Claude had mercy. When I say Vanessa Bryant might be the strongest human,
man,
I'm talking about ever.
But you know what? I'm glad that they waited like at least a month out, because think earlier she couldn't have done that.
Yeah. Had to process.
But I was crying the whole time.
Were you?
Oh my gosh. I was bawling. I mean, there was literally not
one dry eye in the room. Mm-hmm. Everyone was emotional at one point in time.
Because they felt her, man. Like, she said she would never be able to walk her down the aisle and
teach her
how
to drive a car.
Little things when you talk on the way home.
Things
from school,
that people take
like
for
that.
Granted the most.
Every day. And she said, this is what made me tear up, when she said that God had to take them both, basically. They wouldn't have been okay without each other here. I mean, like, when I say gut wrenching, like, about to cry right now.
Right.
But on a lighter note, Michael Jordan was very emotional.
Too.
Yeah, he was very emotional. It didn't tear me up because I kept thinking about the meme when I looked in his face.
It was so
then when he said that they're going to have another 4 years of me crying, I died.
But yeah. If you look at it, though, his tears like fall the same way every time. I was like, now how do tears
fall the same way they fell on me? But not only that, it's like he doesn't wipe his face.
Yeah, while he's crying.
While he's, it's just like he just let it all fall.
Let it go.
The way his face crinkles up holds the water.
He's
going to
let it go. Look, he's going to live his life.
No, but Shaq was funny, too.
No, Shaq
was funny.
Shaq said, he said, we came out the huddle. They was like, yo, Kobe not passing the ball. So he said, I'm going to talk to him. He goes to Kobe. He says, Kobe, you know there's no I in team. He said, well, there's
me and yeah, that there's motherfucker. That was perfect.
But then you know,
he lights back to them and tells them to just catch him on a rebound because he's not passing the ball.
Exactly.
But it gave light to his personality. And
definitely
you know.
Did.
Yeah, and I think that's what was needed. Because I think with all the people there mourning, you know, it was just a thing where it was like we needed some lightheartedness because I swear to you, every like swipe up, every I'm seeing 24/8 too. I'm seeing Gigi, I'm seeing him, and it's getting depressing. Like I wanted to laugh, and I'm glad they gave us those humorous moments.
But you know, one last thing I did enjoy Beyonce, but I really enjoyed Alicia Keys.
Oh, I didn't see the performances. How were they?
She played the Beethoven piece that he learned that he learned it for Vanessa and he taught it to himself by ear and he played it for her and Alicia Keys was able to play it back
one last time.
That's really awesome. Well, you mentioned Beyonce and I actually read a story on the way in here today that people are calling her a diva because she would not allow photographers to snap any photos of her during her performance. And they were like, you know, the other celebrities or performers didn't request that. She's such a diva. I actually think the opposite. I think she didn't want them to exploit her images and make the headlines about her more so than it was about their memorial service.
Exactly. It's someone's going away service.
She
it's not about her.
She was there strictly for Vanessa and the family.
Facts. She sung those
songs.
She
was consoling her throughout the whole entire process of the memorial, and she was just there for her friends.
Yeah.
I think.
And she sung songs that Beyonce loved.
Like whenever she performs, she's gonna automatically like command respect, right? Mm-hmm. I think she just felt like she
this
knows
isn't
she's
about me.
She knows who she is, so she was like, you know what, y'all just keep the photo.
And by the way, it's being streamed live on Tidal.
Right.
You
can
But every time they put the camera on her too, she would like put her head down, or you know, she'll be holding Vanessa. Right. You know, you could just tell she was just there strictly for her friends.
For her friend,
I love Queen Bee alone.
I loved how the NBA legends, the current players, I just love how everybody. And I will say this: Michael Jordan said it right. A piece of all of us died. Like, I mean, if you had any, you know, my kids I love Michael Jordan. My kids love Kobe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's definitely a sad time, but rest in peace, Kobe and Gianna Bryant. We love you. We miss you. Also, rest in peace to Katherine Johnson, y'all. One of the NASA mathematicians depicted in Hidden Figures.
She played Taraji's character.
Yeah. Exactly. And also B. Smith, a famous chef and entrepreneur. The older we get, man, it's just like, I mean, every week.
Yeah.
Every week we lose a superhero. I definitely feel
like it's just like time is flying so fast and stuff is happening left and right. We just like trying to keep up with the time.
Yeah. Man, like, or slow time down, but you can't. It's like moving at a whirlwind.
I've never felt like I was surrounded by death this much. I mean, culturally, they don't take us to funerals.
Right.
Like, we're not allowed to go as children. So I didn't really I didn't have that full grasp of it. And the older you get, I'm just like, wow, this really happens every day.
Yes.
Every day.
Yes, man. And rest in peace to Harvey Weinstein. No, he is not dead, but he will rest in jail. Well, bars.
Fuck him.
Bars.
Fuck him.
Well, let's see.
Come on, man. He deserves
Let's see what happens. Because one of the charges, he can face only like up to 5 years. And the other one, I think, is up to 25. So let's see how much.
Well, let's see. Did you see his face, though? Did you see him on the walker?
For
the
time trial began. All he tried to do, cripple and all that stuff, look at him now. It didn't work.
But let me tell you something, though. He looked like he is deteriorating.
I think that was the purpose. Try to look all frail and old and stuff. So, like, have pity on an old man. Now, get your ass in jail.
Is Cosby older than him?
Absolutely. Cosby's way older.
Yeah, Weinstein. Shut up.
She said, get your ass in there.
Weinstein.
Weinstein,
whatever.
Weinstein.
Your old, dusty, nasty
she
ass
said,
in there.
Weinstein, take your ass to cell block 172245.
And toot that ass up.
Ooh.
What?
Ladies and gentlemen.
I'm supposed to say that.
Rest in peace to the Atlanta club scene. I've been seeing, the OG Frank Ski. I saw Stewie Rock and DJ Cash release something the other day. And I want to have this conversation with all of them.
What'd they say?
Frank Ski, a couple weeks back. People have been saying this. There's been, little things said here and there about Atlanta club culture, the DJs, the hosts, the promoters. But Frank Ski notably said recently, he's coming at all DJ. He's like, the art of DJing is gone. He just, and respect to Frank Ski. He had one of the most popular nights ever in Atlanta with Northern Exposure.
Doodle Brown.
Yeah, he actually, Doodle Brown, he wasn't even the ATL in back then. But but he had a point, right? So then yesterday I saw Stewie Rock, big shout to Stewie Rock and DJ Cash and some other gentlemen were having a discussion, about Atlanta and how, and so they were talking about, and this, now mind you, a lot of people say, we've often talked, on air and off air about what's not happening in the ATL club scene. And I think it was just a shift, right? My personal opinion is there's a shift culturally. Like, it's like, at a certain point, you outgrow, that box. And I call the club a box because you're put in the box when you're in there. Like, forever it's taken me to get the stigma of the party guy off of me as I've transcended into corporate partnerships and actually hosting television shows and being real host outside of a party host. And I wanted to further the conversation because it made a lot of sense with some of the things they're saying. Promoters, when I started, they had no choice because it wasn't happening, right? So they had to pay. And as you grew, your money grew. But then people like myself who started like influencer programs, things like you added on to your piece of the pie, and then it demanded a certain level of pay. Right. Mm-hmm. And things I hear from you when you first started, things I heard from you when you first started, and the things I was listening to them say yesterday is so true, because now you could pay somebody $200-$300. They're going to take that. You know what I'm saying? But it's fucking the game up because these people aren't as qualified to keep the energy, right? Because first and foremost, if you're making $200-$300, you're sick. You can just buy Jordans. Like, you can't literally, and I think I'm quoting Stewie Rock said it yesterday.
Don't pay me.
But at the same time,
can't even buy a pair of Jordans.
You gotta start somewhere, but what the promoters are doing, they're doubling down on it. You know what I'm saying? Because they figure like, I could pay this little money, still get the shout out, still get the mentions and whatever I need, but what do y'all think about that piece? And we'll go on to the next after that. What do y'all think about the promoters?
I think a big problem is, I think promoters are really selfish, and it's about what they look like. It's about the perception more so than it is about actually giving the audience a genuine experience. So if you're willing to pay somebody a dirt cheap price to host, and that is actually going to reflect in the performance, but you're happy with it because, again, he's still going to shout your name out.
Yeah.
It's selfish. You literally come off as if you only care about how many times people hear your name on the mic more so than is he actually getting the crowd going.
Right.
I think for me, when I first started working at the clubs, I was 19 working at the doors. And I remember there were promoters and there were sub promoters.
Right.
The sub promoters were like your street team. They are responsible for getting girls, taking them to the bar. Like, we give you drink tickets. Take the girls to the bar, make sure they're having a good time. Go outside, make sure you solicit people to come in. Then all of a sudden, I start seeing the sub promoters inside on the couches drinking out of bottles. And I'm like, well, what the hell y'all doing? Like,
right. Y'all promoting or not?
Like, what you think that you bringing 20 people in here justifies you coming in here acting like this, like demanding a table? I gotta have bottles, I gotta do this. I think they're very selfish and it shows in their behavior. Not everyone, but most people.
I didn't really notice because I was getting my price when I was hosting. Mm-hmm. But when I became a DJ, I first started opening, and when I was opening, I had a price because I'm over here like, I'm not taking anything less than $350 to open.
But you're also Rari.
Because I'm like, still Rari, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I understood that. And then I was getting it in certain places, and in some places they would not try to offer it to me. And then I would see that they would have other DJs to do it for less. And then it wasn't until last year, summer, 2019 summer, I did this one spot, you know what I'm saying? They gave me my fee. And I was like, yeah, so what's up with every Thursday? It was like, nah, I got somebody that's going to do it for $250 the whole night. I said, right. What? The whole, I said, you got it. You know what I'm saying? So now I'm over here like, damn, okay, why is it like this? So in my mind, I'm over here like, there's no DJ union. There's no party host, like, entertainment union. I would love to start, like, a union where we could all meet, and then we could all set the market. Because that's needed.
I like that.
But the only problem is, it's always somebody that needs quick, fast money that's going to do it for cheaper.
100%.
So I don't know how effective it could be, but if everybody went up $150 on their price,
yep,
we could start headed in that direction.
You know what I think? You know what I think fucked up the market?
Hookah.
No, I mean, there's a lot of variables, right?
The wires, man.
But to Sue's point, I think the sub promoters fucked the game up. Because let me tell you what happened.
No dance floor either, though.
But let me tell you, like, what Sue said was very, very important for you to hear. When you're a sub promote, when you're sub anything, you're at a certain level where you have to prove a point, right? And I think that what has happened because of table service, bottle service, because of, you know, the enormous size of the venues at one point, certain things had to be done to fill the room. And now what you're seeing is, because the mega clubs aren't as popping and more boutique situations are popping, that's because the person you taught went and did something on their own and are doing it without you, right? Now, let me tell you where this messes up the market. One, because you're spreading everybody so thin that you can't really, you know, have a consistent crowd. You know what I mean? The only venue in Atlanta that is a novelty and people come to Atlanta and know about is the Compound.
Compound.
Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? That's, and it's the world famous Compound, which I named it.
Yep. Yes,
but
you did.
At the same time, I think, like, you know, when you look at, like, what it used to be, it was because everybody congregated together. And if we were congregating, you know, Compound on this night, if we were congregating at Gold Room on this night, if we, you know what I'm saying? So I think that was kind of the thing. Now, the thing y'all were saying about, and I want to get to the host portion, is because obviously before me, there were no hosts, right?
Correct.
Like, there were no hosts. Like this, right?
Nope.
But I think that it became less about the party and the people, and it came more about individuals.
Individuals, correct.
And I, you know, and the one thing I pride myself on, I try to teach all of the hosts that I mentor, have had a conversation. I consider, if I had a conversation with you in a lengthy capacity and gave you some game, I feel like you should have took it, made, you know, use what you needed and made your bones. But I feel like a lot of people are so self-centered and can't get out their own way that becomes the focus, not the party. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, there's things you could do for inflection. There's things you say and things you highlight for capturing moments. And I just feel like that's lost. It's like the bottle culture, you know, and the hookah culture causes you to stand still. Then you have this voice and DJ, because we cannot not blame DJs on a certain level, because you get stuck into these dope boys want to hear this and they got to hear this record. If you don't play... y'all are students, right? Y'all are students of the game. Y'all grew up in it. Y'all have become who y'all are by being students. Where have you ever seen a successful anything happen when it's all about, you got to do this? If you don't do it right now, it's going to fail. Like, I don't come from that kind of party day.
And I would like to say, before Sue go, I do a party on Saturday. I do Compound and I leave and go do the Tiger in Marietta.
Yeah.
There's a big ass dance floor, minimal sections.
Yeah.
Nobody comes to the DJ booth to bother me. Nobody requests me to play any records. Everyone comes in there to have a great time.
That lets
me also know where the issue is. The issue isn't sometimes, it's also that celebrity, a whole bunch of hookahs, a whole no dance floor. I'm telling y'all, because I'm actually DJing. I leave one party where everyone's a fishbowl and just staring at you.
Yeah.
Got the, and I go to another party where I can play a fucking...
play Suave Mente and they gonna dance.
I can play Suave Mente and everybody's in that motherfucker.
Hey.
Because they're coming to the party with no intention of a celebrity.
Right.
My bad. They're coming in there just to have a good time.
Yeah.
So I think some things fucked it up.
You're all those the sections. There.
Because Marietta, right. They
the locals.
Yeah, they're trying to kick it.
Yeah. So now I'm seeing that, oh wow, there are other parties and they pay me my fee.
Period.
And I don't get argue. A large amount. Yeah. And they put me in the middle of the flyer. They promote that I'm coming.
Yeah.
When I get there, I get I get ushered to the DJ booth. Security's right there.
Water. You ain't got to
ask. I'm over here like, yeah. I ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
You have like the luxury brand and then you have the store brand, right? Like some there people want to go. There are different markets for different things. So when it comes to the club, a compound person is going to more than likely be either a table customer or they're going to be in a table with the nigga that paid for the table. It's going to be one of those.
Great breakdown.
And then, when you're talking about, like, you know, right outside of the city or these smaller places like Tiger, I haven't been there before, but I can imagine, like, that crowd is almost like the anti-club crowd.
It's the same people every week, too.
They want to be there to have fun, but they don't want to feel like they're in a club environment, which most of the time means bad customer service, security is too rough, you can't get to the bar, or the bartender won't look up to even take your order.
Right.
I mean, there are so many things that go into that, but the market has definitely changed. Like, millennials don't care about buying bottles. Millennials will sit at the bar and still spend $250, $300. But the thing about millennials, they'll come back over and over and over again. This table person, you might see them once every 3 months, depending on who they are.
That's right.
Yeah.
Unless you're giving them some comb bottles or discounting it, like, you're having to come out of your pocket some kind of way to get them to come out. I'm telling you,
she did right, and that's why I wanted to have this discussion, because I just feel like there's, like, you know, and also people are jumping out there for clout. Like, everybody, nigga, you not that DJ, you're not that host. Some of you can't even join the conversation. Like, sit down. You know what I'm saying? And I also want to say this: you're the reason the market's fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Y'all running around here acting like y'all more than y'all are, not putting in the work. Y'all using social media to amplify nothing. Mm. I tell people all the time, you know how many y'all seen come and go?
Facts.
One bad problem, too, is, you know, people started a cap on things like the tables and tickets and all that stuff. When a customer finds out that you
that
you just capped on them for a few $100s, do you think they want to come back?
No, they're not coming back.
So now we're losing customers on a weekly basis.
Listen, but Sue, I know you won't say this might be a whole episode. No, no, this is. But I know you won't go all the way there because of the people you're affiliated with. But I can go there.
Okay.
And
it happens.
Robbing Peter to pay Paul has never been the look. It's never, and black folk, y'all always wonder why we in the position we in. Sue will tell you this. I don't host in Atlanta for a specific reason. For a specific reason. Yeah. I cost too much.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I would never be in the club four nights a week like I was 7 years ago. You know what I'm saying? But even 7 years ago, I was making $1,500 a night
four times a week.
Yeah, four times a week. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I had to lick them up. So it's like when people get into their conversation, like, you can't talk to me about that. You can talk to me if you want to, like, pure advice or you want some information. But don't come talking to me, including yourself in my level of conversation. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what I've contributed. And that's that's what I think is missing too. Like, Alex, who taught all these promoters out here the game, right? Anybody who has a club right now or is involved on a high level has learned from him.
Look at Oak.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Oak is doing good.
But every one of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And all I'm saying is like, I wish that Al could have had control, but see, there's a certain level of personality that needs to come with that so you can keep control. So I want to say this too. Everybody keep talking about there's no place to do it. Rari just said, one, I created Cassette. You can't tell me that ain't
Cassette is a vibe.
Right, but I'm just saying, and others, you with your brunch.
Sunday brunch.
Other people have created things that you can go. So
come holler at me at Tiger.
Exactly, but what I want to stop is, and I wanted to start it off, I mean, because it was cachet for the whole today's episode with RIP. So I said RIP to the club scene because, yeah, the way we know it is dead. Like Sue said, I'm saying, and it's fine because I'm an old head. There's no way around it. Same time, though, it's just time for new blood. They do things differently, but it's not. It doesn't mean that they can't do it the right way. It doesn't mean they don't want to do it the right. I'm sure there are pockets. You know, we had that big discussion at the High Museum, and then they had a whole nother separate thing instead of coming to the High Museum. Why wouldn't y'all have come? If you felt like you weren't invited, you felt like you were left out, come have the conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I just think that we, as a city of real creatives, real passionate creatives, real, you know what I'm saying, like, influencers of the world. This is Atlanta influences the world. There's no pun intended. Shout out to the person who owns that. But, like, that's no pun intended. So Get with the gatekeepers, because you got to understand there are gatekeepers. Facts. And you know what separates us from y'all is the money. Facts. You can't have nothing without the money. You can have all the creativity you want, but unless we support you and we want to support you, and any one of y'all that I've mentored know that I'm about my word, I'm about putting my money behind people, but you can't continue to have conversations like you're really curating something and not being in it. Like Sue's been in it, Rari's been in it, they're Bocce, Corey with a K. There's people that been in it, learn, and have the respectable way to do the business and need some type of, like Rari said, some type of fucking
union. Need some checks and balances, man.
No, we need some union though too. Yeah. I think what you said is so fire. Like, we need a union.
Creates, then everybody can get some money. It's, yeah, a, it's a whole bunch of money out here.
But we motherfuckers money paying for everybody. These motherfuckers is just paying. It's sad that everybody wants to last do the thing, same last thing.
Last thing.
Same
thing. Hold on. Say that again.
There's enough money for everybody, yet everyone wants to do the same.
And how you expect to get formula money like that?
But I got already you. DJs. Well, ain't no camera, but
he look for a camera.
every week.
You should feel a certain type of way when they do $1,000 Halloween contest and you only getting $350.
Oh, period.
You should feel uncomfortable about that.
But how do they demand it? Let's give them answers. And I have an answer though. But how do they?
I got a perfect example.
No, but to your point,
I'm gonna tell you what I do.
But to your point though, you said that somebody else is willing to do it. How do you demand and then get your paper?
Listen, I'm a different breed. I come from the Kenny Burns, Greg Street, Big Tigger, all them tree. I got a lot of OGs that keep me on point. I'll give y'all a perfect example. Now, I say they damn near. It was 11:45 last week. Yep. Club. I seen a whole bunch of extra bottles being ordered because I was playing the right fucking songs.
That's right.
I took my ass to the back. I said, I know y'all made extra money tonight. I need $250 extra tonight.
That's right.
What you talking about, right? I said, I need $250 extra plus my fee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He just looked at me crazy. I was like, bruh, I'm the one. Plus, hey, y'all had me in this bitch 30 minutes extra.
Yeah.
I need extra tonight.
Yeah.
What they gonna tell me? Motherfucker pulled in his pocket and gave me my little extra bread.
Well, see, that is important. I'm gonna tell you why that's important, because you are demanding your worth. These motherfuckers are scared to walk away. And I know you not. So if he wouldn't put out the $250, were you willing to walk?
Yes.
Okay, see, I need to do
that. Rari would have been
y'all know
out
me
there.
I decline shit all the time.
I mean, if you notice,
they always come back around though.
There are literally no sub promoters anymore. Like, thank God for growth. A lot of the guys that I know that came up as, you know, the, I guess the smaller promoters and the sub promoters, his squad has always been great at what they do.
My guys.
Yep.
And you know, they've moved on to Oak, but now it's like, who's promoting Oak?
Yeah, but but they don't need. See, this is my problem with sub promoting, and we'll go on because this is a whole show.
It is.
But big shout out to Jabbar and them. There are people that came up in the system that are on top of the game, if you will.
Right.
The promotions game. Mm-hmm. You can't have sub promoters anymore, and I'm gonna tell you why. Because they don't have your best interest at mind.
No.
I mean, in mind. Sub promoters do not have your best interest in mind. Their goal is to get where you're at.
Cap.
You hear me?
Cap.
And anytime someone wants your position, and in this day and age, now back in the day, you can give a motherfucker like me a shot, and I'm gonna make you the million, and then I'm gonna be ready when it's time for me to make mine. I'm not trying to come in and step on your feet off top. And I think that's what these sub promoters, hosts, and DJs do. These DJs ain't coming and trying to be like, everywhere I go in the country, this is not even an Atlanta problem. Everywhere I go in the country, everybody trying to outdo everybody. You know Kenny Burns up next. Yeah. You can play whatever records you think you need to play, nigga, cause I will change the entire room. I will say this, and big shout to the girl. I want to shout out because she's a dope DJ. But before I got on, and DJ Bandcamp, what's up, DJ Bandcamp, because he was rocking with me, she played all the hits. Now, mind you, this ain't the crescendo of the party. This ain't, they play, but that's what DJs want to do. But guess what I did when I came on? I played slow jams.
Slow jams.
So my point is, like, you got to be ready and versatile. You know what I'm saying? But like, real hosts, real DJs, real promoters, they're not going to let nothing sway their movement. And we got to have control back in Atlanta. Rari, I love the point of creating some type of union. Because
I've been thinking about that for the past 2 years.
There has to be law. There has to be law and order.
There has to be law.
It has to be some game that people follow. Because they're not, it's the Wild Wild West out here.
Anybody can
throw a party. Anybody can be a host. Anybody can be a DJ. Because you ain't even got to have the skills to DJ no more.
That's literally why I just stay in my lane. Like, I go to people's parties. I support. I have fun. I post where I'm at. Like, I don't do any of that funny stuff. I tag you. But
you come
I protect
school.
My space.
But how about this? After October, I'm just doing Saturdays.
Hey.
Oh, wow.
I'm out. Yeah. I'm just going
to
do Saturdays.
Well, it's time. You know, and I want to say this lastly. You have to grow.
Yeah.
As long as you're in something and you're comfortable, you will not grow. So I challenge everybody in ATL to get in where they fit in, but I also challenge you to do it respectfully. Speaking of respect, I think Fury earned his respect by whooping Wilder.
Boxer.
He whooped him.
Though.
And Wilder trying to say it's the suit. Too heavy. My legs is weak.
I don't like excuses. I don't like excuses.
That might not,
you took the L, bro.
Now, everybody's going in on this black man. One time.
I love Wilder. I'm a big Wilder fan. My thing is, come on, bro. Just take the L. Come back.
I'm not even mad at all that. I think he threw the fight.
But my personal opinion,
he threw the fight. I think he lost on purpose.
You watched the fight, Sue?
No, of course not. I can't watch
sis,
like that.
Sis, my thing is, he got his ass beat every round.
No, I understand.
The suit ain't got nothing to do with his ass not even moving out the goddamn way.
Well,
he was getting rocked.
He did an interview before where he said that he doesn't run because he doesn't do a lot of running
because
he doesn't run.
And he's a boxer, but okay. Go
ahead.
Imagine, the nigga was bleeding out his ear. I need him
now,
to run.
Now imagine.
I need bob and weave.
Right. What I heard was that, you know, his eardrum or something may have been busted.
Correct.
Can you even imagine, like,
and he might have been concussed.
You would be after that? Like, your equilibrium is all messed up.
Yeah, got you.
On top of having little skinny legs.
Is anybody looking at Fury's body? Okay, is anybody looking at the tire around his waist? Is anybody looking at the build?
Fury is a boxer. Wilder is a hitter. Like, all he do is hit you. Because the last fight that they had, it was a draw only because
he knocked him down that leg.
He knocked him down two times in the fight. For the most part, he was losing. Wilder was going to lose that one, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Look, I didn't even watch either fight. I just saw the clips.
Didn't Fury lick his blood?
Yeah.
Now tell me where and why.
Gross.
Tell me where and why.
It was towards the end. He's rocking his ass. I believe this is seventh round.
Because he said he wanted to taste his blood.
Wanted to taste his blood.
So gross.
That's some boxer shit right there.
No, that ain't no boxer shit. Right.
That's
some crazy.
Weird. That's cannibal.
Mike Tyson bit off Holyfield's ear.
Cannibalism.
Gross.
Mike Tyson bit off Holyfield's ear.
Okay, bite somebody's ear off and licking like he's licking a clitoris. He licked his neck full of blood like it was a clitoris. Did he not?
Hey,
ladies and gentlemen, speaking of clitoris, Steven Spielberg's daughter is going to the porn.
What the hell is going on?
Star Wars.
I saw that. That's kind of crazy.
You know,
y'all know her pappy is a big time film executive.
Yes.
Remember when Fishburne's daughter was?
Yes.
That was short lived.
Now, what do you think? That people just got so much paper they just go left? Well, this was really, because she said in an interview that she could never use her body the way she wanted to, and this is something.
Hey, man.
She said she was tired of not being able to capitalize off her body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, girl. You
some
should capitalize
like sex
off
like
that last
though,
name.
Porn?
Her last name is enough to capitalize.
So she like
on something.
She like getting tossed up on camera.
I guess she has these specific films in her mind that she wants to see.
She wants y'all to see her work.
Mm. Okay. I get confused though. It's like
she wants to be the Spielberg of porn.
All righty,
Octavia with the bombs. And now a word from our sponsors.
Message
time for Baller Mail.
Me and my baby daddy. Both 22 years old, we have a 2-year-old son. We have dated since high school. But here's the issue. I want more and he doesn't. He said he doesn't want to commit right now and he doesn't want me to date anyone else. What type of excuse is that?
Law.
My dad said I shouldn't have high expectations from a 22-year-old young man. Should I let him go and just work on me or do I fight for our relationship?
And they got a child.
Have a child, 2-year-old child.
Let me tell you what you do, little sis. You put him on his head. You have control. You have the baby. And yeah, make him grow up. You got to hold these young men responsible. You cannot allow them to just run all over. You got to, and trust what I tell you, human beings don't like to be put in the corner or put on timeout or put on punishment.
Men.
You know what I'm saying? Men do not like that. If you got missing, if you went from the lovey-dovey, super thoughtful person you are to I don't fuck with you,
that's going to bruise his ego.
That's going to bruise his ego. That's going to bruise his ego.
And before you go, Sue, wait, Sue, wait. Because I know you finna go.
I'm looking at it too.
I know Sue finna go in. You're dealing with an immature young man, and he's not ready to be a father. It seems like he's not ready to be a father, be responsible. He want to go out here in these streets and do his thing and put his penis inside other vaginas. He's not ready to be exclusive to you, and if he's not ready to be exclusive to you, you should move on, and you should worry about yourself and your child. As long as he's a great father, don't nag him about anything else other than just being a great dad. Block his ass on the gram, block him on all things, put your butt on the sink, take a picture and post it now.
Put
your butt on the sink and post that shit on the gram. Block his ass.
This is the thing.
I love you, Rod.
She said that she was, you know, concerned about their relationship and doesn't know if she should let it go. The relationship that y'all have currently is not the relationship that you're looking for. So that should be easy to let go of, sis. Like, he's not your man.
But she got a whole child, though. That's cool. In her mind.
That's not.
And they're having raw sex.
That man has told her that he does not want to be in a committed, exclusive relationship with
and
her.
Don't want
but
you
he wants
to be
her
with
to, like, sis, this is all about control. He's not, he doesn't genuinely care about being in a family oriented relationship
right now. But don't you think there are measures to put in place where he could learn his lesson that this is who I was and what
I
need?
Yeah, is there any way to salvage this?
I think he got to go finish playing because he still want to play.
You're right.
Let him go do that while you continue to grow yourself. You know, allow yourself to date.
But women know what they want.
The man you
want
to be with. She don't. She clearly don't know.
She said it.
No, she wants to be with him. She wants more.
She thinks she wants to be with him. Okay.
So you can't. You're not in her head.
And date someone who's going to hold doors and really be there and communicate with her. Then she's going to realize, oh shit.
But okay, would you not like to try to instill that in your man, or would you just want
with your baby
to
daddy?
Exactly. I'm sorry.
Great
point, Rory. Baby daddy. Would you not want to teach him what you
need? Let me say something. If she wrote us on the Baller Alert Show podcast, she done already been trying. Okay, this was the final straw. This was it.
That's why you go
left. Okay.
I think if she knows what she wants, there are measures she can put in place to get it. That's all I'm saying. I don't believe in quitting. I know for a fact that if there's something I like, I gotta tell Jessica.
I think,
you know,
women,
if something she likes, she gotta tell me. If something we want, she gotta tell me. We can't just assume.
Mm-hmm. I know this couple in high school. I went to high school. I graduated in 2002. Damn. But they still together.
Wow.
She was ready to like get married in like 10th grade when they met. And what? He was like, what are you talking about? But now they married. But she knew she wanted to marry him.
My best friend.
Way before he.
My husband since high school.
That's my, cool.
And my sister, my older sister, has been with my brother-in-law since high school. Mm-hmm. That's the only boyfriend she's ever had.
Here's a major key. If you are affectionately in a relationship, meaning you have sex with someone, you're attracted, you feel like they want you, there's a way to put everything you need in place. And that's lack of attention if someone is not giving the equal amount that you, you know what I'm saying, give. I promise you. Try falling back and see how much a motherfucker call you. Try falling back.
That is
and
also
not give
true.
No dick or no pussy to your significant
other. Especially when women do it, though.
I'm just saying. And that ration, I'm not saying stop having sex. If that's, you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, but you got to prove points sometimes. Yeah. I just feel that way.
I get what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Child.
Okay, baby.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Creep, creep.
Pay it from his phone time.
Creep, 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 creep.
And now it's time for comment creeping.
Creep, creep, creep.
All right, so Twitter was on fire this weekend. I know everybody was trying to keep up with the beef between Alexis Sky and Ari Fletcher, who I'm trying to keep up myself. Okay, so Ari used to be with G Herbo, right?
Ari is with Moneybagg Yo. Okay. G Herbo is
with
Fabulous' daughter.
They have a baby together, her and G Herbo.
Correct.
Cool. Okay, so
anywho,
she was with
Javante Davis, and now she's with Moneybagg Yo.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Ooh,
well, Alexis Sky and Ari had been going back and forth on Twitter. It was intense. They started talking about each other's children and how much money they have and how many men they've been with and all types of crazy things that women should just not say to each other.
Word up.
But Alexis said something that might have got somebody else a little rattled up. She said, "You bitches are weird as fuck. I'm in my own lane. I don't hate on no one. All these trolls tagging me and shit saying I'm trying to be like this person. Let me make something clear. I love myself. I'm beautiful inside and out. I've been real humble. I paved the way for these bitches.
She woke a lot of people up when she said
she woke
the way.
A lot of people up.
Who's
with
smoking
that
blunt though?
So Miss Melissa Ford, you know, she done hit the gram. Y'all know she
looking
is an
like
OG
mother.
Legend.
OG Scorpio
mother.
King.
Straight
okay.
Like mother.
Melissa says, pave the way with multiple question marks. People need a history lesson. But you know what? LOL, let me just chill over here with my greenery in my, I don't even know how to pronounce this, in my convalescent home. What does that mean?
Not a convalescent home.
I don't know what that means.
That means an old
home. How you say
home.
It?
Convalescent
oh,
home.
They tried to, oh, they must have been clowning on her while she old. She said, y'all little young hoes don't know nothing.
Boy, that thing was all day.
It was too much. I could not sit there and refresh over and over and over. I was like, you know what?
Do y'all
I'm just
see,
wait till tomorrow and go on Baller Alert. I barely use Twitter. I know you tell me all the time to
get
use
on
it.
I'll be on Twitter.
I'll be on my
whole
Twitter.
I'm going to get it together.
Again, I'm going to tell y'all, you can watch pornos on Twitter.
Okay, we know.
Okay.
You've been watching them?
I mean, on my timeline, if I scroll, so I happen to scroll, I mean, I look at a little 10 seconds of it.
That's where Spielberg gonna have her channel.
Melissa Ford, you hey. Are the OG. Please do not get yourself wrapped up in this young drama, okay?
But her facial expression when she hit that thing, you know what I'm talking about? The way she just looked was like, girl,
like really?
Like you just
like
really
come
gonna,
on, little girls. That's how Melissa, yeah. They
And I never ever saw Melissa going online or and I mean she was popping before social media clearly, but right. You know what I'm saying? I just never seen her, and that's what if you're gonna be about that life, you know, seriously, and I'm not saying Melissa Ford is, I'm saying, but if you're gonna be about that life, how you putting it all on social media? But it seems that these youngins is taking it and with it.
You know, dudes. I'm just still now getting used to FaceTiming people. Cause I don't FaceTime nobody but my kids.
Right.
But I think a lot of younger people, that's all they do. Like you speak, if you speak to my 11-year-old, my 16-year-old, they don't even call. They FaceTime only. They don't even talk on the phone. Like, hey, how you doing? You know how you could call somebody?
Yes.
They only FaceTime.
Right.
So like, this is just shit that's different.
But they
so
FaceTime some kids, you to be the ceiling fan going. It's like, I called
well,
you to
yeah,
see
you go
your
like
face.
This. You go
and
like
yeah,
this.
They just put it down.
Oh,
like,
yeah, no. So what are you FaceTiming for? You can just fucking call me. Or text.
Just in case, I need you to see me.
Now, I'm a big texter. I text
yeah,
all
I'm
day.
I'm a text too. I'm
I don't even like talking.
Me neither.
But you know, just back to what you were saying, you know, some of these people, they got a vent on social media.
Yeah.
But do you really pay attention to what you're doing? You're talking to your phone.
How is that healthy?
It's people on there, but
they
you are talking
people,
to your phone.
No, I think some people could. I think you can find therapy socially. But the things that they're doing is not progressive. It's
What's therapeutic is them getting justified, or people are like justifying them.
That's
online
what they do
that they don't even know. You don't
like
even know these people.
Chasing. I want cosign. I need to be. I even posted something the other day.
They
want to
feel better about their decision.
Yeah, I even posted
by a
other
whole
day.
Bunch of strangers that don't know you.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, being authentically you. You don't got to seek validation. Like you're you. Like you know what I'm saying? Be comfortable in that. Like every
this app makes these people.
It's
fact.
So
and
OCT.
That's what lets me know. I was like, damn man, I wish I could have thought about that. Instagram doesn't provide anything. We provide the content to Instagram.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just an app that has nothing in it unless the users provide the
content.
We
actually made it the platform that
exactly.
It is. They created the app for us, but we actually made it a platform.
And every one of y'all out there are not Cardi B. Okay, next. And now it's time for Confucius Says. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say, check on your people, man. You know, at the end of the day, life is so short that you really, really don't know what's next. You really don't know. And the older you get, the more people you lose. So please find solace in knowing that you are loved and more importantly, that you love your people. Go forward, Baller Nation. Peace.
Baller Alert!
The dream is real.